whose water bottle this is?
So, just, you know, at the start, a couple of brief reminders as usual. Homework one will be due a week from today during class. So upload your PDFs, or if you can't manage to figure out the PDF stuff, you can hand it in on paper if you want. But please PDF for Ray's sake, so he doesn't have a giant pile of papers he has to look through. Hopefully we'll have covered everything that you need to know for that homework by the end of today's class, so you have a full week with the material. If for some reason we missed something, don't forget we have office hours. Mine are tomorrow, right after class today, and then tomorrow pretty much all day I'll be here. And Ray's are
Friday.
1 to 2, 2 to 3 on Friday. And then Tuesday morning also. Monday is Labor Day, so there's no class. Long weekend, hooray. And then 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing our Python introduction in class. So heads up now, bring your laptop so we can work on things together. Just a quick straw poll. Who uses Windows? Most of you. And then Mac? Few of you. Anybody use Linux? You all you laugh, but just you wait. Everybody have a laptop? Anybody not have a laptop? Cool, good. If you do want to use Linux for some reason, let me know and we can get you set up on one of the computers in here if you want to do that. But you laughed at me when I said it, so I'm guessing that's a big fat no. Okay. You can.
Or what are we using, like Jupyter, like Google
Lab? I think in class we'll probably do stuff in Jupyter notebooks. That is, to be honest, not my preferred way of doing it, but for in the classroom it's usually the best way to do it.
What's your preferred way?
A text editor and a terminal window. I don't like, notebooks are annoying to me because you can get out of order and things can get messed up really easily. Just start from scratch every time. Anyway, we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Any other questions about any administrative stuff before we start? Cool. We're going to spend today talking about finishing out coordinate systems, stuff in the sky, and ways of measuring time. And depending on how far we get, we might start dipping into light a little bit, but we'll see. So last time we left off, we were looking at this nice constellation chart. I went back and labeled things more nicely. So for the notes, when they post up today, you'll be able to actually see where various things are on this and not just my chicken scratch vernal equinox like it was before. We will talk more about the coordinate system that this map is based on shortly, but just a few landmarks in here that we want to make sure to point out is that north is up, south is down, right? A common convention that you'll see in astronomy, and whether it's in pictures or maps, east is usually shown on the left and not on the right. So you can usually think that if you are looking up at the sky, right, looking south, east will be on your left, so that's where that comes from. So if you see a picture on the internet of something in the sky, chances are good that it's north is up and east is left, unless there's some nicer way of showing it. But a little trivia there. The curved sinusoidal line here is the ecliptic. We will define the ecliptic to be the path of the sun throughout the sky throughout the year. Remember that the sun goes throughout the year. It moves from west to east, so it starts over here and moves this way throughout the sky throughout the year. The ecliptic is also going to be what we'll define as the plane of Earth's orbit in the solar system later on when we talk about the solar system. So we'll sort of think of that as what the plane of the solar system is. All the other planets are tilted a little bit with respect to that for various reasons, but we'll choose ours as the baseline. And then the straight line across the middle of this diagram is the celestial equator, which we talked about last time as well. So that's just Earth's equator projected out to infinity. The line that inscribes on the sky is the celestial equator. And then the north and south celestial poles would be along this middle line above or below. But this only goes to plus or minus 40 degrees, so they'd be way up there. Before we move on, any questions about this diagram? I know we left off with that, but yeah, Garrett. Vernal equinox, yeah. So vernal equinox, by virtue of the fact that it's right here in the middle, it has some special significance, right? We'll talk about that when we talk about the coordinate system, but the vernal equinox is the first day of spring, right? As if you want to think about it in terms of seasons. In terms of points on the sky, it's defined as the day, the coordinate where the sun crosses the crosses the celestial equator. Right, that's where the ecliptic and the equator meet. Right, so it's when the sun goes from south to north, crossing that. And then so by extension, the fall equinox is when it goes from north to south 6 months later. And the summer and winter solstices are the highest point of the sun in the sky and the lowest. Okay. So before we talk about the more rigidly defined fixed coordinate system that's depicted in that particular map, we should talk about a more relative system, just sort of thinking about the fact that every person that's actually on the surface of the Earth is at a different position, right? They're going to see a slightly different sky, which we saw in this very first figure we showed. We started talking about the sky, right? So this hemisphere over here shows the sky of the observer who's standing on the surface of the Earth at the intersection of these two lines. They have the zenith above them, marked at point Z, and then you can see north, south, east, and west. Here is, if you take that coordinate system and split it out into its own little thing, this is what we'll call the altitude, altitude azimuth system. I think the book refers to this as the horizon system in the reading. So if you read through that, that's what we're referring to here. So named because the horizon, your local horizon, is the sort of the equator here in this system. So there's a few points to note here. This is going to be expressed, coordinates in this system are going to be expressed in degrees, right? So if you have, basically we're talking about latitude and longitude here. So in the case, all right, I can't spell and talk at the same time, hang on. Latitude, longitude. So the equivalent of latitude in this system is what we'll call altitude, right? So if when you think about altitude, you think of how high up in the sky you are. Think of it the same way here. It's how far above the horizon you are in degrees, right? We mentioned last time that you can sort of use your hand as a guide to how many degrees you see up in the sky, right? Your thumb is about a degree across. Your full hand is about 5, right? So you can sort of measure out that way. It's a super rough approximation. Don't try to actually measure, but it's good enough. So altitude is the equivalent of latitude. And the equivalent of longitude is azimuth. It's just one of those words, that's what it's called. We call it, instead of just calling this latitude and longitude will be more general terms, right? So this is specifically referring to how high above the horizon and then how far around the horizon you are. So latitude or longitude could refer to any combination of two coordinates on a sphere with any 0 point. The 0 point coordinate here would be, obviously, the horizon is 0 degrees in latitude, and due north would be 0 degrees in longitude. So if you are standing on the surface of the Earth and looking north at the horizon, you'd be looking at 0 degrees, 0 degrees. And then it looks like you go towards the east to increase your longitude. So if I stood and looked north and then turned east, I'd be looking at 90 degrees, and then 180 to look south, 270, so on and so forth. This is the boring part of this class, talking about latitude and longitude and maps and stuff, I know, but. So then that's the basic, so this is useful if you are trying to point out to somebody, oh, look at this particular star at this particular point in the sky. You could say, okay, yeah, look at about 40 degrees up and 90 degrees to your right, and that will tell them to look at that particular spot. So this is really more of a relative, non-absolute system. It's useful in that sort of situation. But that's not particularly useful in terms of doing science, right? You need to have something more of an absolute system, because you don't know necessarily where someone's going to be on the surface of the Earth when they try to go and replicate your observations or see an event that is there, right? You know, we're in Cleveland, we can all sort of more or less get the same position in the sky using just the relative coordinates, but if, say, someone were in Australia, if you said, you know, go out and point your telescope 20 degrees up and 45 degrees east, they're going to see something completely different, right? So we need an absolute system that everyone can use that uses a standard. So we will call that system equatorial coordinates. So named because it uses the celestial equator as its 0 point of latitude. This is aligned to Earth system. And so if you wanted to think about where, if you have three coordinates to define a spherical coordinate system, right? You have a theta, a phi, and some sort of radius, right? Those are going to be your three things. If you wanted to think about what 0, 0, 0 is in this, the zero part for radius is the center of the Earth, right? Because that's where it's going to, you know, we're using the celestial equator and north and south pole to define the angular coordinates here. Sophia.
About the equatorial coordinate system, would it be correct to say that it's based on the ecliptic?
Yes. Well, partly. We'll come to that in a second.
So I won't write that down.
It's the, let's just talk about it. So what the 0 point for the angular coordinates are in the equatorial system is for theta and phi equals 0, 0. Is where the equator, the celestial equator, and the ecliptic cross on the vernal equinox, right? So that's the 0, 0 point, right? So if you go back, if you zoomed in here, right, you'd see.
Oh,
there it goes. Okay. 0 degrees. degrees, right? And 0 degrees, right? So that's 0, 0 there at that crossing.
That's an eraser. Oh no. The reason it that happens is because that the PDF of the sky map is like 6 megabytes or something, and so every time I try to zoom in, it has to load the whole thing over again. Yeah. Where the ecliptic and equator cross on the vernal equinox. Sometimes on maps you'll see a symbol depicting this position, and it's sort of this weird,
I don't think that's a Greek letter, I think it's some constellation symbol or something. A long time ago it was called the first point of Aries. It's like, that's because that's where the sun enters the constellation Aries on the vernal equinox. But again, if you go back to the map and look at where what constellation that point is in. It's in Pisces, and Aries is up here. So yet more evidence that astrology is not what it seems.
Right here.
Ouch. First point of Aries would be like over here today, so. I think that's the symbol for the constellation Aries, but anyway, I digress. How are we going to divide this up, right? We want to talk about latitude and longitude again. So latitude will be pretty straightforward. Instead of calling it latitude, we're going to call it declination. But we'll sometimes just refer to it as latitude, so that if we're trying to visualize something quickly, you just think of latitude because you've heard that one a lot more often in your life. That's going to be expressed with the symbol delta, lowercase, right? So like so. And that will be written out in degrees. And then The longitude coordinate is going to be called right ascension. We could probably talk for 30 minutes about why it's called right ascension, so we're not going to. Sometimes you'll see this referred to as just RA too, because who wants to say right ascension over and over again? And this will be expressed with the Greek letter alpha. Or a lot of the time you'll hear people refer to this as RA and DEC, right, for longitude-latitude pairs. Anyway, here's the tricky part about this coordinate system, is that right ascension coordinates are not expressed in degrees. They're expressed in hours. Why on earth would we do that? Discuss amongst yourselves.
I don't know what the general, maybe
Which one is, because in physics the phi is the azimuth and the theta is the polar, but then in math, or other way around.
I would say we do azimuth and then altitude.
Yeah.
So left, so, right, then up, down. So usually you'll see, you'll see RA then depth. So you'll see longitude then latitude. Usually.
I mean, with the spherical coordinates, like, is this theta or phi?
I think we use phi as physics.
Okay, that's the right way to do it.
It'll be really weird to do it.
Oh, no, the physics one is not the one I like. The math one is the one I like.
I barely ever write anything in theta and phi, so I honestly couldn't do that.
Yeah, we don't normally write it.
This is phi.
I heard someone over here say that RA was
so
up and down, right?
Oh.
So it's
this
RA is
like
left, right.
Where are you in the
longitude.
Circle?
It should.
Okay, declination is up, down.
Yeah.
Theta should be this one, and phi should be this one.
So
that's
like, think of
the
Earth,
the
right? So
around,
like, you go up
so
and down,
true.
You're going north and south.
I think you always
say, like, if you count it to here, you'll learn it this way. And then when you take physics, you'll do it the other way, and you'll be so confused.
I don't know why they do it.
It would be at a different time, in a different time zone.
What does it matter?
At a different angle.
It's split into, like,
what? Oh, yeah.
I think so.
I'm
still
confused how they
feel like math stuff. Just like the way they collaborate.
I don't know why they do that.
It's a certain angle.
I don't know. I took calculus.
I don't know. I don't do that. It's
so useful with them all.
So, David, why do we use hours for our for right ascension coordinates? So if you think about just the idea of, you want to think about the sky as a clock, right? A 12-hour clock is not a good example, but how many times does a clock go around? How many times does the Earth, how many times does the Earth go around in one turn? It goes once, obviously. How long does it take for the Earth to go around one time?
24 hours.
24 hours, right? So you're going to return to the same spot in the sky, if you think about what's, you know, sort of directly overhead, right? That will come back every 24 hours on a regular basis, right? One turn of the Earth. So if you
want to think about an observer sitting at their telescope trying to observe something in the sky. You're going to want to think about how long is that going to be visible up in the sky, right? So thinking of longitude in terms of time coordinates is really convenient for trying to observe the sky, right? Because if you say, I want to look at two different things, this one has an RA coordinate of 3 hours and 30 minutes. And this one has an RA coordinate of 5 hours and 30 minutes. I know that if one is overhead now, the next one will be overhead in 2 hours. And not have to sit there and be multiplying by 15 to get it in degrees, and then multiplying back, you know, right? So that's another thing right there, right? There's 15 degrees in an hour. Right, there's 360 degrees in a full circle. There are 24 hours in a full circle. So there are 15 degrees in an hour. So how do we split these up into smaller bits? You can just use decimals if you want, that's fine. Or you can say 15 and a half degrees or 2.5 hours. That's fine. You'll often see it written in hours, minutes, and seconds, and degrees, arc minutes, and arc seconds. So hours, minutes, seconds, degrees, arc minutes, arc seconds. Take a moment and try and burn into your brain right now that a minute is not the same as an arc minute, right? Because there are 15 degrees in an hour. How many minutes are there in a degree, right? That's not a straightforward conversion. It's not 1/60th of a degree. It's 1/60th of an hour. It's a minute, right? So these two are not equivalent. Not equal, right? But there are 60 arc minutes in a degree. And there are 60 arc seconds in an arc minute. And there are obviously 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds in a minute. Right, so the time coordinate works the way you expect it to on a clock. But it's a 24-hour clock, not a 12-hour clock. A lot of the time, so if you see this written out like in a string of coordinates, you'll see it written out something like this. You might see 5 hours, 55 minutes, 12 seconds, and then 12 degrees, 15 arc minutes, and whatever, 25 arc seconds, something like that, right? So if you see little degree sign, you know that one, little circle. Arc minutes have one tick mark, arc seconds have two, right? You might have written time out like that before. And then hours, minutes, and seconds, the HMS, that's hopefully straightforward to remember too. Any questions about that stuff? Sean.
So like the 0 hour coordinate, does that like run for Polaris?
Yeah,
Technically, not quite. Polaris isn't quite exactly at the celestial north pole, but the celestial north pole is, I guess, 0 hours 90 degrees north. I mean, it's all longitude at the same time, right? It's because it's at the top. Technically, spherical coordinates are weird like that, because the longitude lines converge at 90 degrees. But Polaris, I think, is off by a couple, like an arc minute, maybe, I think. So it's just like 89.59 something. If you want to figure out how far apart two points are, right, you can do that using spherical trig. Easy enough to do. So if you want to measure the angular separation, you will usually see this written in, we'll call it delta theta, just as a way of conveniently writing down its change in an angle. You will almost always see this written out in terms of degrees, arc minutes, or arc seconds. Depending on how small that change is. Usually you'll use the smallest one that makes sense for what you're trying to measure, right? If something is 3 degrees across, you're not gonna say that it's 180 arc seconds or whatever, not 180 arc seconds, 180 arc minutes times six, right? You're not gonna, you'll try to use a human normal scale, right? You can only really think up in terms of, I would say, visualizing numbers, right? You can't visualize more than 250 of a thing at a time, right? Sort of, you all have a mental rule about how to, you know what I mean, right? You're not gonna write 0.001 degrees, you'd write something in arc seconds instead, that sort of thing. Human readable numbers, that's what I'm trying to talk about. Anyway, if you, have two coordinates in R and DEC. So say you have alpha and delta for two different positions on the sky. You can figure out the change, delta alpha and delta delta. So delta alpha is going to be equal to delta theta times sine phi over cosine delta. Oh, I need to put the diagram up. Hang on. Here are the quantities we're talking about here. If you're thinking about point A and point B, right, if you want to know the arc length along the sphere, delta theta, that's what we're talking about here. You'd make a triangle, basically, between the two points. And then theta here is what that angle is on the triangle. That will, come on, smaller. So delta alpha is equal to delta theta times sine phi divided by cosine delta. I'll rewrite that phi. And delta delta is equal to delta theta cosine phi. So delta theta squared is equal to delta alpha cosine dec squared plus delta dec squared. So in this case, you need to have your change your RA, right? If you want to think about what the change is, that has to be in degrees to work here, right? You can't put in on your calculator cosine 5 hours. It won't know what you're talking about. So that needs to be in degrees. So you do have to multiply by 15 to get that in degrees, right? Don't forget as you're converting, right? If you see something written out like this, 5 hours, 55 minutes, that's not 5.55. That's 5 plus 55 divided by 60, right? So make sure that you're converting that right. Because you'll never get anything bigger than 5.6 if you try to do it that way, right? That's you'll, right? So you might find that weird, but okay. I think there are a few questions in the homework that you have to do something like that, so, but I can't remember exactly what the problems are. Okay, so one of the reasons that we use hours as our longitude coordinate is because, like we were saying before, right, we can use the sky as a clock to tell us what time it is, effectively. So there's going to be something called sidereal time. What does sidereal mean?
Sidereal.
I think it's pronounced sidereal. That's how I've always heard it. What? Right, yeah, it means, what it means in astronomy is in reference to the stars, right? So it's going to, usually when we talk about sidereal time, we're talking about, or something sidereal, we're talking about a period or reference point in a coordinate system that's using the fixed sphere of stars at an infinite distance as its reference point, right? So basically what we're going to think about here is how long it takes for the Earth to make one complete rotation with respect to a star way out at a far distance. So the official definition of sidereal time is the amount of time, well, we better say the amount of clock time since the vernal equinox. Remember, the vernal equinox is the zero point in the equatorial coordinate system. Crossed the meridian. Uh-oh, there's a new term here. What does meridian mean in this case? Sophia? It's the arbitrary longitude that we set as zero in any coordinate system, right? It doesn't have to necessarily be the Earth, right? So on the Earth, we have the prime meridian, which goes through the North Pole down to the South Pole through London, basically, right? So we have our good old colonial coordinate system there. It could be anything on the Earth. There's no particular reason to pick that other than that's who defined it, right? In the sky, we have some more scientific points of view to consider, right? So we'll choose the vernal equinox to be our zero point for the sky coordinate system. It could just as easily be the summer solstice or the fall equinox, but we picked the vernal equinox just because at that point it's completely arbitrary. Why not just pick that one? And, you know, spring is the beginning of the year, and, you know, whatever, okay. So the meridian is in the sky. We're going to think about the meridian being as what our local sky is. Go back to the horizon system again, right? So you have your local horizon, you have north, and you have south. And then directly overhead, you have the zenith, right? The point that's straight overhead. The meridian is the line that goes from north straight through the zenith and then south.
So it's the line that goes directly overhead. So if you stood and you looked south, things would rise until they hit the meridian and then set after they cross it. Does that make sense? It's sort of the midpoint of the sky along any particular latitude up or down. So the official definition of sidereal time is the amount of clock time since the vernal equinox crossed the meridian, right? So that's going to happen once a day. 00 will go directly overhead and then start to set. So we'll say 0 is when that happens, and then start counting minutes and seconds and hours. And the sidereal time is how long it's been since that happened. We can actually think of it a little more simply than that, because we've defined our coordinate system to be in hours, minutes, and seconds, right? So the clock time since the vernal equinox has crossed the meridian is actually just the RA coordinate of whatever star is directly overhead right now, because those two things are equivalent, right? RA is just time. So you can think of it alternatively as the RA coordinate of a star crossing the meridian. At a given point in time. So let's say you go out, sorry, question.
So for this time scale, when you're referencing the meridian there, that's the north-south line going directly overhead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your local area?
I better write that down. Meridian is the line that passes through north, south, or north zenith, south. And I guess it's implied in that, but it's perpendicular to the horizon, right? It goes straight up, right? You couldn't pass through the zenith if it weren't, but. So imagine that you are gonna go out at night and look at the sky, and you were wondering, oh, what sidereal time is it right now? And you looked up and it looked like the star Betelgeuse. You probably all know Betelgeuse, right? It's Orion's shoulder. It's the red one. Some of you are shaking your head at me. That's sad, but we'll see it at the telescope probably when we go. Betelgeuse has a RA coordinate of 5 hours, 55 minutes, and some seconds. So if I go out and Betelgeuse is crossing the meridian, what is the sidereal time? Say it out loud, Sophia.
5 hours,
55 minutes. Even though it might be 1:35 a.m. local time, the sidereal time here is 5 hours, 55 minutes. Is the sidereal time different for every observer? Garrett's shaking his head no. Talk about it for a second. Will the sidereal time be the same for every observer on the surface of the Earth, or different? Or is it somewhere in between?
That's what I want.
latitude's one of the.
Yeah, latitude's one of the. Oh my god, I'm literally.
They don't care. Yeah.
So if you're.
We have.
Well, they have that line that will.
So. Okay, so sit here.
Latitude's like.
Latitude is good.
Latitude's.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, perfectly.
Here's the.
But on your.
Yeah.
I'm not a sixth school teacher, which one is, oh, now I know which one is. Oh, it's so heavy.
Right, so latitude and longitude, right, think of the globe, we have a handy globe here, right? So latitude lines are the ones that are parallel to each other, going up north and south, right? Longitude are the ones that go from north to south, and they converge at the poles, right? So I hear people, I think they're getting confused, latitude and longitude.
Or it's the difference. Society has this, like, to the terminology where they say at the higher latitudes, that's like the first time lines, not at the.
What?
You see, we get that one more time.
Yes.
Longitude.
Latitude, think of, so when you think of latitude and longitude, think of the earth, right? Latitude or declination or altitude, right? Those things are all the same. They're the parallel ones that go around the earth, right? The equator is a line of latitude. Longitude are the ones that go vertically along the earth and converge at the poles.
So if you're looking, like, so if straightforward is the equator and you go up, that's latitude, right?
Yes.
But it's confusing because the lines are circular around the earth.
Right.
And, but those are just the points where it's equal, so it's equal at zero at the equator, and then you go up 20 degrees, it's equal at that point.
The line is showing you, if you stood at the equator and walked north, you would go 20 degrees when you were up.
And so when you move north, you're moving up in latitude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though latitude.
Along a line of longitude.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's why.
It is.
If you think about it, so at least I'm not totally. Yeah.
So
if you don't
think about it,
it's
just
certain. Because I swear when I was a kid, someone was like, latitude is like a ladder.
Oh.
Sounds like a ladder, so I'm like, okay,
that's a good
so
one. Latitude is a ladder, right?
But,
it, so
but don't say,
no,
but it's not this line. That's why. That's
it's
why
a ladder because it's like
but it
it's the steps on it.
Yeah.
The ladder.
My
okay.
Teacher always said latitude
why
because it's a slide.
That's
how I've always.
I don't like.
Oh.
This is why I always use here.
But wait, it's constant.
Anyway, we agree that it's
different. Wait, so.
All right. What do we think? Is sidereal time the same for everybody on the earth? Is it different for everybody on the earth? Or is it somewhere in between?
It's the same where everybody at the same. Who has the same star?
It's the same for everybody who's on the same line of longitude. It doesn't matter what the latitude is.
Can you say it in terms of altitude and azimuth? or yeah.
I can't because altitude and azimuth are different for everybody on the surface.
Oh, I
of
just
the
mean
earth.
I mean like spherical coordinates like this one and this one. I can't with the words anymore. It's too confusing now.
but now the
same
variables
this?
Are confusing.
Same
it's same for everybody on the same vertical, right?
Cool.
So if we are in, if we're in Cleveland, right? Cleveland is here. Let's just say it's on this line right here, right? If we go down, okay, somebody in Peru is on the same line, right? They're gonna have the same sidereal time that we will in Cleveland because the same star is crossing the meridian. Okay, Joanne.
If they're looking up, like they don't see the same star, they just see the stars on the same, like.
Right, the star won't be directly overhead for them, but it will be crossing the meridian.
Okay.
right? The meridian goes from horizon to horizon. That same star may or may not be visible, but it's crossing the meridian, right? So it's going, the meridian goes all the way around, basically, right? Okay. Stop it. All right. Okay, now it's time to introduce another confusing concept. Sorry, Garrett.
So it's the same for everyone on the same line of longitude?
Yes. Grace. So like China, right? China has one time zone.
Wait, seriously?
Yes. China has one time zone and it's like 30 degrees wide or something, right? So it's the same time on the border of Kyrgyzstan as it is in Beijing.
That's crazy.
Officially, right? Unofficially, like it could be 8 a.m. and it could be dark. I guess that happens here sometimes.
Sometimes
the sun doesn't. I'm like on the solstice days. Sort of.
People like will unofficially use it.
There are six times. That's what I think about the Earth. Okay, it's time to introduce another esoteric and confusing concept. What is the difference between a sidereal day and solar day? Joanne.
Isn't the solar one based on when the sun comes back to the same spot?
Yes. So let's define the solar day as how long it takes for the sun to come back and cross the meridian again.
But the sun is a star.
The sun is a star, but it's a special star. It's
just
ours.
Does sidereal time reference the star, the position?
Yeah. When we talk about sidereal, we talk about the distant fixed stars. The sun moves in the sky. Right, so we can't think of it the same way. But yes, you're right, the sun is a star. I'm glad you know that already, that's good. So the solar day is the length of time between successive crossings of the sun over the meridian. So what you can think of as the sun crosses the meridian, you can think of that as local noon. Not local moon, local noon. Okay. So here's another question for you. This could have been a homework problem, but we'll make it a quick question. In Cleveland, is it ever local noon at clock noon? Right, so Eastern Daylight Savings Time, Eastern Standard Time, right? When it's 12 on the clock, is the sun ever crossing the meridian or directly overhead?
Only on the equinoxes.
Only on the equinoxes.
But
that's
directly overhead.
Yeah, well, on or crossing the meridian.
Like the highest point.
At any point. Doesn't necessarily have to be the highest point. Just going across that dividing line of the meridian. Joanne?
I feel like there's prophecies there, like one day, or 2 days, I that it actually ends up lining up there?
It actually never is in Cleveland. We're too far west for the difference in clock time and local noon time to ever be on the same day. What would you remember, Ray, how what the difference was in minutes? Like 20 minutes, I think?
It was anywhere between 15 and 45 minutes difference.
Yeah. So if you go outside and you look up and you say, I don't know what time it is, where's the sun? And it's directly overhead, crossing the meridian. It's never noon here. It's always afternoon, right? So if you think you're going to go out and you're going to say, oh, it's noon, I'm not late to class yet, you're wrong. Hurry up. How long is a solar day? Oh, sorry, Sophia.
Is the sun crossing the meridian, is that synonymous with the sun being directly overhead?
Yes. When I say directly overhead, right, I mean crossing the meridian. Unless, nothing's ever going to be directly overhead of you for the sun, unless you're on the equator or between the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn.
Then I don't really get what it means about the sun crossing the meridian. Could you, like, demonstrate that with your, like, arms? I'm a really visual person.
Okay. So let's imagine that the back of the class is north, right, and I'm looking south. So the middle line of the classroom is the, you know, if you go through, let's just use this line here on the ceiling, right? So if that's the meridian, right, the sun's going to rise in the east, and it's going to come up, and it's going to cross the meridian.
But when you say meridian there, you mean the prime meridian or no?
The sky meridian. The line that goes from north through the zenith to south.
Okay.
Right? So as the sun goes, crossing the meridian, and then sets. Rising, crossing, setting.
Because if you're at the equator, then it would go straight up. And
right, but if you're on the equator, then it would go directly overhead.
Yeah.
But so when it's somewhere on that one.
Sorry. Yeah.
I have a question. Okay. Like, so how there's like a 30-minute, it could be after, can it be before noon too that it's crossing it, or just after?
Not in Cleveland.
Okay.
Because there's some line in the Eastern time zone where it is.
Okay.
Noon, right? But that's somewhere in the middle. And so there's west of that line and there's east of that line. And so if you're east, it would be before, and if you're west, it would be after.
At that point in the middle, is it only on the equinox then that it is at noon?
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Daylight
savings.
Daylight savings.
We should not use daylight savings. Daylight savings is garbage. We should throw it out. We should just stay standard time all the time. I don't care about being light at 9:30.
I kind of care about it being dark at 3:00.
I went to graduate school in Bloomington, Indiana, which is on the very western edge of the Eastern time zone. And the sun went down in June at 10:30 p.m. I go to bed at 9:30. So.
I did summer classes in Bloomington. That annoyed the crap out of me.
It's the worst. Anyway, how long is a solar day? Michelle, right? How long? 24 hours. Exactly 24 hours. That's the right answer. Yes. Because we've defined the solar day to be exactly 24 hours. Because that's what the clocks use, right? Midnight to midnight, or noon to noon, has to be exactly 24 hours, right? You can't have little fractions of a second in there. Otherwise, how do you make a clock? Right? So that's equal to 86,400 seconds.
you want to think of the day in terms of seconds. I don't know why you'd want to count that high, but what's a sidereal day? Joanne.
Is that the one that's a little over 24 hours?
It's actually a little under 24 hours, but yes. So what is the definition of a sidereal day then? Think back to sidereal time. Alex, are you raising your hand? Or is you just, okay. Yeah.
So the amount of time it takes for a fixed point in that far away section of the sky to make a full
right.
Back to the meridian.
Right, so we'll go ahead and call it the vernal equinox again, right? So the sidereal day starts when the vernal equinox crosses and it ends when it crosses again, right? Sidereal day is the length of time between successive crossings of the vernal equinox over the meridian. How long is a sidereal day? It's not exactly 24 hours. Does anybody know the exact number?
I guess. Is it 23:56 minutes?
Yes. It's 23 hours, 56 minutes. And 04.0905309 seconds. Microsecond? Microsecond accuracy. That's pretty good. Okay. Sophia.
I just have confusion on that diagram with the sky and
yeah.
the sine wave.
Yeah.
The vernal equinox was happened once a year, so is this a different vernal equinox? I'm just confused about the vernal equinox.
So you think of the vernal equinox as being a point on the sky and a date. Right? So on the calendar, it's the day where the sun is on top of that point. I guess we didn't say that last time, did we? Right? It was implied, but the sun is going along that line. The calendar day of the vernal equinox is the day the sun is at that point in the sky. But it's always still the same point in the sky. Right, because it's also a coordinate on the coordinate system.
So it's the 0-0 point of the equatorial system.
Yes.
Which is the one that coincides with the plane of the orbit of the Earth, or no, our equator.
It's the point where our equator and the plane of our orbit cross.
Okay. So is it?
So it's when the Earth, right? When the seasons, if you think about the seasons, right? It's when the Earth is. Tilted so that the whole hemisphere gets full light for that one day, right?
So it's the vernal equinox is you could give it in some coordinates, and it would always be the same in an absolute coordinate system.
Yes.
Okay.
That point,
it's
well,
zero, zero,
yes.
Or?
Yes, and that's 0-0
okay.
In the equatorial coordinate system. There's dozens of other systems you could use, but it's 0-0 in that one.
I guess my question is if I'm trying to visualize the sun or the vernal equinox crossing the meridian, it's how would I visualize where it is? Because 0-0 doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
To me.
Well, if you know your stars, right, you could go look at the map, and you could go. Now it's just completely blank. That's okay.
You're getting there. So if you knew your stars, right, you could go out and you could find this little circlet thing, right, and it would be right at the bottom left corner of that, basically, more or less, right? Because the star is like, we could have picked any single point in the sky, right? We could have picked the point of the brightest star. We could have picked some arbitrary point, right? It could, but, you know, pick that one. Yeah.
So this shows the path of the sun throughout, like, the calendar year. What is the path of the sun, like, throughout the day? Like, that might be, like, a dumb question, but, like, does it, like, how does it move on this
plane? So this is more showing, this is, right, so this is showing the stars, the fixed background of stars, right? So if you went for a particular day, right, you can sort of zoom in and see, okay, February.
There we go.
February 1st, right, is here. Sun's in Capricornus, right? So February 1st, the sun will start out here. It will rise, and then it will eventually set. But it's slowly moving east to west over the course of that day. Garrett?
So like on February like 2nd and 3rd, if you're looking at the same spot in the sky at the same time, or looking at the sun at the same time, it would still be in Capricornus, like slightly moved?
Yes.
So, okay.
Right, so if you think your thumb is about a degree wide, right? The sun is half a degree wide on the sky. So over the course of the 12 hours that the sun is up, it will move its width in the sky. Does that make sense? So it will rise, and it will set 12 hours later, or whatever, not exact, but you know, 12 hours, half the day later. But a star that rose at the same time will set slightly before the sun does. Does that make sense? Does that help answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm still a little confused why it's less than a day. So why is it less than 24 hours?
I'm going to turn that around on you guys. Why is it less than 24 hours? Or rather, right, that's one spin of the Earth, right? Just based on how fast the Earth spins. Because the stars are far away. They're not moving that fast anyway. On human time scales, they're not moving. So if you look out way far away and say, okay, we spin around one time and I point at the same spot again, that's one full spin of the Earth. So that's really the period that we want to think about as in terms of the Earth's rotation period. That's this one. So really the question is, why is a solar day longer than that? Yeah. Right. So I'm sure we have a diagram to show this somewhere. Here we go. So as the day is progressing, the Earth is still orbiting around the sun, right? So you start out, we'll call noon the start, right? The sun crosses the meridian at noon. There's some star behind it far away. La-di-da-di-da, 24 hours later, 24 hours later. Tomorrow at noon, we go out and we look at the sun, right? And it's a little bit more east than it was yesterday. Because as we've gone around, the Earth has been spinning. Well, it spins once as it goes around, right? So we look out and we look at the star. We've found our star again that we looked at for sidereal time. And there it's in the same spot again. But now the sun's over here. So we have to go a little bit more to get the sun back to the same point in the sky as it was yesterday. Because the sun has moved since yesterday. So
Sophia.
So what is that a consequence of? Is that a consequence of the fact that we're orbiting the sun and only the sun?
It's a consequence of the fact that we're orbiting the sun at the same time that we're spinning.
Okay.
So that whole, like, the map that you have up, that rotates around every day because we're rotating. And so the sun, if it's like at that February 1st spot, it's completely covering up that constellation during the day. And we won't be able
yes.
to see it until the opposite time of year.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right.
Joanna.
So, like, each day the sun crosses the vernal equinox?
No.
Oh, so then... Never
mind. The vernal equinox is a single point in the sky, right? It's one set of coordinates. And the sun is only ever at one coordinate at a time, right? The sun moves its coordinate as it we orbit around it, but the coordinate moves 1 degree per day, right? So it goes along that path. Oh boy. We're almost out of time. That's fine, this is the last thing. So it takes a full year to go from here to here, right?
Yeah, I was confused because I thought that one of the days was measured by the time it takes for it to go across the vernal equinox. I think I just got something confused.
Right, so a solar a sidereal day, the time that it takes for the Earth to go around one time with respect to the fixed stars, we chose the vernal equinox as our reference point for that instead of a particular star, just for the official definition so that everyone measures the same point. We chose the vernal equinox. Does that make sense?
A little. It makes more sense.
So the sun is only ever on top of that point at exactly one instant throughout the year, right? And then it moves it along. But the sun throughout the day rises at whatever 8 a.m. and sets at 8 p.m. Right.
Okay.
And if we weren't orbiting the sun,
mm-hmm.
if we were just sitting at one spot, then the sun would go around once every 23 hours, 56 minutes, and whatever seconds.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because it wouldn't be moving in the sky anymore. Does that help, Joanna?
Yes.
Good. Sophia.
My question is almost the same as that, but a little different. Maybe this question doesn't make sense and it's making more sense, but say if we were the Earth was rotating with such a angular speed that the sun was always in the same point in the sky, then would a sidereal day and a solar day be the same?
If we were rotating so that the sun were always in the same spot.
So we're just
so if it were like say always directly
like
overhead?
Yeah, like the
So let's just say it's like.
So,
on,
oh, then there would
never be. Never mind.
Then it
so
would. No,
question.
Right.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Sean, first. Now you're asking questions that are going to get you in trouble. I honestly don't know. Because dividing the sky into 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 0.4.090, we want an even number. Yeah, so strictly speaking, the sky coordinates don't match up with the sidereal time coordinates. Strictly speaking, we're off by 56 seconds, which is, 3 minutes and 56 seconds.
So there's a leap year because of that, then?
Yeah, that's why we do leap years, because after 4 years, you built up to get an extra day worth of time. We have to tack on February 29th to make up for it. Yeah.
Would an older of it, a perfect circle fix that, like where it would like match it completely?
Say it again?
Orbit of a perfect circle.
Not necessarily, because it's more about the fact that the Earth doesn't rotate once every exactly 24 hours. We could define it that way if we wanted to, but we just chose the Sun to define the perfect exactly 24-hour time period for whatever, because we want, you know, do you want the clock to be right all the time, or do you want the sky to be right all the time? That's your choice, basically, right? Okay. See you in a week, because Monday is Labor Day. Enjoy your long weekend. And if you have any homework questions between now and then, let me know.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Is